Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi everyone, Graham Couch here from the Lansing State Journal alongside my Detroit Free Press colleague Chris Solari. After Michigan State's 30-27 win over Penn State here at a snowy winter wonderland Spartan Stadium.
First game I can remember like this since the Nebraska game back in what, 18? I think it was.
Boy,
and that was after the game that it really snowed.
Yeah, I don't think it was quite like this during the game. This was an incredible performance by Michigan State coming off what happened in Columbus. I think everybody can agree to that. It's one of those days, you know, your rival beats Ohio State to go to the Big Ten Championship minutes before you kick off. I'm not sure how much they knew that stuff. But Michigan State showed up very focused with guys who weren't 100% healthy, both ill and injured, playing through it. You know, a guy like Jaden Reed talked about, he didn't practice till Friday and had a very good game, including a huge 4th-and-15 touchdown and recovering the onside kick. So Michigan State is 10-2 in play for a New Year's Six Bowl. Lots of things to play out before that happens. But this was as good a performance as they could have under these circumstances, and I think a huge program win if there ever was one.
I really want to point out the fact that I'm wearing my Maui hat right now.
Yeah,
and it's 2 years ago we were on the beach in Maui doing this video, yeah. And this couldn't be as far from that as humanly possible right now as I kind of look at the screen and see your breath going that direction.
That's better than your face, probably, yeah.
Yeah, it is. This was a big win in a lot of ways. One, it got Michigan State to 10 wins. Mel Tucker becomes the fastest coach in MSU history to get a 10-win season, which to me is it's a big signifier. After getting that big deal earlier this week, he talked a little bit about that, and that was his first real public comments after the game about it, and said his focus was mainly on the preparation, but he understands the historical significance for a black head coach. I thought was really interesting how he talked about wanting to win a national title at Michigan State and there needing to be the commitment. And that was a big reason, I think, why you saw that. And when it comes down to just the game itself, you know, there was a report out late Friday that the team was battling some illness, which at this point in the year, a lot of teams are. You know, Kenneth Walker talked about being sick, and Peyton Thorne even said he was sick as a dog 2 days ago. But, you know, much like the Jordan flu game, guys are going to play through it. It's the difference, and we talked about this in the press box, we're a little hypersensitive with COVID, but the flu isn't COVID, and there's no protocols for that. Guys are going to play regardless.
If they can play, especially in a situation like this. I think what was so big about this game, too, is that, look, Michigan State looked horrible against Ohio State. I think they were embarrassed. I think we could see that from them. And the question, I think it takes a little something to come back out and perform like this and get a little bit of your reputation restored.
Yeah.
They came. I mean, the offense was really good. They're still shorthanded. But Peyton Thorne, I don't want to say this is his best game entirely, but given the conditions, it's one of them. And that throw of them 4th-and-15 is one of them. That catch by Jaden Reed, who had 6 for 89 yards, big for a guy who wasn't healthy. And Kenneth Walker, you know, with 30 carries and the snow and adjusting his game, as you brought up. I just think that their players and their defense becoming opportunistic and playing. You know, they're still not a perfect defense. They only have a couple of healthy cornerbacks. But there were a lot of their guys stepped up and played an important game. This will be a memorable game in Spartan Stadium history, Michigan State history.
Yeah, and when you get weather like this, I mean, I think back to when I was a kid watching the Steelers and the Browns. I think it was in the 79 playoffs with the Slush Bowl. That's one of those games that is a 4 or 5-year-old. That still sticks in my mind. And a lot of Michigan State fans, with anytime you have games like this, and you think back, what, a couple years ago when they had the rain delay with Penn State, it was a memorable game that they upset them that day, but there's no question that this really did kind of restore. I thought Peyton Thorne, and I brought this up a lot during the press conference, he was 10 of 14 for 171 yards on third down alone.
Yeah,
and they weren't short third down conversions he was making, and they went I think 3 of 4 on fourth down as well. So that was a masterful performance in this kind of weather by Thorne. I mean, you could tell, you know, if you want to say that he's a Chicago kid that's used to playing in these kind of things, I don't know how late in the season you really get
to. Most kids don't play in this kind of snow that often.
No, but I do think that, you know, his receivers made good catches. You saw what he could do with his legs, both running the ball on that one fourth down that he converted himself, but also on that touchdown throw that he had to Trey Mosley. You know, you mentioned the Reed one, but the one to Mosley was masterful. It's another third down play, shuffling to his left and allowing his receivers to shake coverage and break free. And you couldn't have thrown a better ball. And that was after one of his worst throws that just, you know, on the play before that got batted down on the screen that was might have been there for the touchdown anyway.
Well, and he did say, though, that the refs did a nice job and their equipment people keeping the ball pretty, you know, pretty dry. And he said throwing wasn't so bad. I also think it was hard to be a defensive back reacting in this stuff.
Yeah.
Because at least the receiver, you kind of know where you're
and
going.
And linebackers.
Yeah.
Except let's I think you got to credit Noah Harvey on that fourth down play because he read that hole and they had gone to Trayvon Lee. And really, Penn State at that point had become one-dimensional.
Yeah.
He makes that tackle. Now, they came back, and they started throwing the ball around again, and they started trusting it. But there were some questionable decisions that James Franklin made. I think there was the field goal that he basically iced his own kicker because I think he was going to try for the fake like he did against Michigan and backed out of it, and then his kicker missed it. I mean, there are a lot of little things that, you know, that I think
went on
in this game. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think one of the things Mel Tucker's done, and one of the reasons he got the contract and people want to keep him, not only is the early signs of recruiting to the portal and with freshmen and, you know, the incoming class next year look promising, but you look at what's happened in Nebraska this year, and you look at Michigan State has won just about every close game it possibly could, and they maximized, I think, who they are, and they were sort of the epitome of who they are again tonight, and, you know, would this game have been different in perfect conditions? Maybe, but so might have the game in Ann Arbor, and, you know, lots of, you know, you play with the conditions you're presented with. And I think Michigan State reacted to
it
pretty well.
There were definitely some D'Antonio-like tendencies to this team this season. I mean, they go unbeaten at home, which was an important thing. You saw seniors. I mean, Drew Beasley comes up with a sack and a half, I think. He was very active, recovers a fumble. Connor Hayward, you can't say enough about the game that he had. I mean, he had one of those big fourth down catches, and I think he had another big one to set up the Reed touchdown at the end of the game on third down for 25 yards on a little screen that he was directing his blockers. And you know who was out there blocking for him? Jaden Reed and Christian Fitzpatrick. Reed was an active blocker today, too. And I think that's the interesting thing, too. I mean, he talked about that after the game, that he wasn't going to stay out, even though you asked him about how healthy he was. He said he wasn't 100%, but there were a couple plays that he was out and blocking that were critical to this game. I mean, I think the Walker touchdown as well.
I agree, and that was early on that Walker touchdown. He was gritty. You know, a couple interesting things too. Kenneth Walker says afterwards that he is planning to play in the bowl game. And so, you know, we'll see. Obviously, that could change. He's asked in the moment, but I do think is Mel Tucker talked about how much his team cares about playing for each other, and I think Walker right now certainly feels like he's going to play in that game. And if it's a New Year's Six game, it's a pretty big game. And I can understand him wanting to be part of that. I can also, you know, you look at this team now, one of the things that I think I'm going to write about here is just the idea that, you know, there's a chance now for them to look much different in a bowl game, to have a chance to have another showcase. They're going to get probably Jalen Naylor back. They're going to get a number of guys back where they're healthier and they're closer to who they were at their best in October. And that's not only attractive for a bowl, but that's, I think, for these guys is something that would be pretty significant.
Yeah, and I do think it's going to be interesting to see those decisions play out as they do anyways. I mean, Reed also said that he wasn't thinking about his future beyond playing in the bowl game. So, you know, take that for what it's worth again. But they also see what this offense did this year. And they see what the development of Peyton Thorne. And, you know, you wonder going into the offseason how much that plays into some of their decisions. Walker's probably going to be in a little bit of a different boat, potentially playing himself now up to maybe the first running back. And with how little, you know, the career's lifespan of a running back is different. But, you know, guys like Reed and Naylor, I mean, Naylor's injury probably forces him to come back at this point unless he has a monster bowl game.
Yeah. He'll test well because of the speed and stuff.
Yeah, and it's going to be fascinating to see. And then it's going to be also fascinating to see some of the other guys that come back that have the extra year of eligibility, because it, you know, Xavier Henderson before the season said that he was planning on, you know, this being, and then you hear his words after the Michigan game, you thought, well, this guy's going to test the waters, yeah. But he also wasn't mentioned in the seniors.
So he might be back. Yeah, and that's an important one. You know, what's also interesting is when you talk about guys making that decision, I think there's a big difference between having a 10-2 year or 9-3 year where it's, I don't want to say a disappointment, but for some teams who had real playoff hopes.
Yeah.
This was an unexpected year. These guys are enjoying playing. This doesn't feel like a disappointment. The idea of playing one more game together, getting to see what they could be in a big showcase stage, and I think it was Jaden Reed today, who said he's never been on that sort of stage before, that they might have a chance to be on. Now, it may be the Outback Bowl, it may be the Citrus Bowl, the Vegas Bowl is the other Tier 1 bowl that replaced the Holiday Bowl, but there's a real chance now, especially with Wisconsin losing, which here's the weird thing, is if you want Michigan in a New Year's Six Bowl, Michigan State in a New Year's Six Bowl, you need Michigan to win next week, because that screws some things up, and you don't want Cincinnati to lose. And then whatever happens with, you know, some of the stuff in the Big 12 will factor in as well. But Michigan State's going to be right on that line, and I don't think they'll fall below 12. And so it'll be a matter of whether, you know, because the ACC is going to take one of those spots.
Right now, Michigan getting to the playoffs is the biggest hope for that.
Yeah.
Because Ohio State's out of the running. I don't see them being in contention at all. I know we're going to have to wrap this up because cold weather, battery power, all that stuff, and I'm starting to get a little chilly here too. So
my feet are cold. Yeah. Well, we will have complete coverage at freep.com, at lsj.com, greenandwhite.com. Thanks for watching and listening.
Just going to run this dog to see if we can find any type of human remains that are left.
Listen to Where Secrets Go to Die, The Disappearance of Derek Hennigan. From the Detroit Free Press, a new podcast set in the woods of Michigan's Upper Peninsula. Available on Apple, Spotify, Freep.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.